Amen and amen. Well, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of family blessing right now, because we've got some people that have some really big life stuff going on. So once again, we're going to invite up our cell leaders, some of our pastors, McIntoshes, if you can come up, because we've got some folks that we're going to pray for, and we just kind of want to jump right into this. So Alice and John are actually getting ready to get married next month.
Yay!
Right?
Come on down.
So if we can get you guys to come kind of right down here on the steps so that we can pray for you. Alice is actually leaving for England on Tuesday to go and get things ready. So if you don't see her for a few Sundays, that's where she's at. So we'd like to get some folks to come up, pray for them, bless them. Susan and Kent, you guys are getting ready to get married as well. If we could welcome you up so that we can pray for you guys. Who else was there? Oh! There's one other person that we were going to pray for that just hit a life milestone, but I don't see her at the moment. Oh, there she is. Go.
So we would like to take some time this morning to bless Sandra Long. Sandra is our senior pastor at Catch the Fire, and she just celebrated a birthday. And so we'd like to ask our cell leaders and everyone else to come and lay hands on Sandra as well as we just bless her. And Sandra, we got you some flowers today. So we'll put these aside for you.
So this is part of, you know, how we do family. It's sharing with people when they have amazing things happening in their life. And the reason I knew Alice was leaving on Tuesday is because she's in my cell. And cells are a great way to kind of like connect with people more, to find out what's going on, and to be able to pray for them and to bless them. And also by filling out the back of the card so we know what's going on. So those are just some things. If you have any questions on cells or kind of our church's home group, please come to the welcome table at the end, and we'd love to tell you more about that.
And just to say about the cards, I'm not always here on a Sunday morning in the main service because I'm with the youth. By the way, I'm Ben. I don't think I introduced myself. But it's really great to be able to hear praise reports, like Sam said earlier, to know that things we're praying for have been answered. So please write those out for us as well, because as a team, it's great to know where people are at. And we unfortunately can't know every person, have a great conversation every single week with every one of you. But we can find out where you are. We can give you a follow-up email or a call. So that's great. We'd like to ask, actually, the video announcements to get queued up. And as that's happening, Warren Mills, if you're here this morning, Warren, come on up.
There we go. All right. Does anybody at home have the internet? Most of us probably have the internet at home now, right? Well, we just did a big uplift to our Catch the Fire website, ctftoronto.com. So I invite you to check it out, because how many people are on our email list? Do most people get the email list through Connect? Well, you can actually respond to those emails and kind of start a conversation with other people that are at Catch the Fire. We've started a new Facebook page just because we really want to engage with everybody and to talk to people more online. So check out our new website. It's ctftoronto.com. It's 80% the same, but 20% of what we've changed is really cool to help people find out about what we're doing and what you're doing a little bit more.
And so this is Warren. Warren is obviously one of the men in our ministry, and so he's going to share a bit of his testimony of what God's been doing as we share a little bit more after about the men's ministry.
Yeah, hello everybody. I was saved about 12 years ago, and when I was up on Manitoulin Island. And shortly after that, I was at a healing ministry, and God gave me a vision of Jesus' face as he died on the cross. It was very clear. I saw every detail of the horrific thing that he went through. And that changed my life completely. After that, I was just completely on fire. And I was witnessing to people, visiting people who were in jail. I went to a Bible college in the States, down there for their week of prayer. And eventually, I started preaching up on Manitoulin Island in a native church. I saw somebody healed of blindness right in front of me. And so God was, you know, really, really working in my life. And I asked him, what can I do? What can I do for you, Lord? What specifically can I do for you? And he sent me to China as an English teacher and a missionary for 1 year. And when I came back, he told me to continue in that, being an English teacher and witnessing to people and seeing them come out, get saved. And But I have to admit, after 6 years here, I became passive. About 3 years ago, I started to become passive. And it was partly because the fire went down that was in me. It went down. And it was because I didn't want to accept the responsibilities that God wanted to give me. He wanted me to go into leadership. And I said, Lord, I don't really want to do that. I don't feel qualified to do that. And so the fire went down, and I became a watcher instead of a doer. And I'm just speaking specifically to you men who've been Christians for a while, for a long time, that God wants you to accept the responsibilities that he has for you so that he can give you everything that you want or that everything that he wants to give you. And what he does if when you're passive, he just sits a chair over by the side of the wall and he says, okay, if you don't want to do what I want you to do, you can sit in that chair until you change your mind. And that's exactly what he does. He turns us into, lets us become passive. But then when we're ready, he says, come on over here and take your responsibility that I have for you. So I encourage all you men, as far as the men's fellowship is concerned, this is something that God is doing. He wants to raise up the men. He wants to raise up the men starting here, and he wants to take it out into the community because the community needs on fire Christian men. And I don't want to be passive anymore. I want to be on fire for the Lord because that's all that Amen. Really matters in your life. So that's what I have to say today. Thank you.
And that's like an amazing lead-in. Thank you so much for sharing, Warren. If we can actually have a couple of our guys come up and pray for Warren too, just because we want to continue this blessing train going here. But we've started the Authentic Manhood series. Pastor John started with an amazing sermon last week that really spoke to me, and I looked into some of the stuff that's going to be covered in this Authentic Man topic. It's the real deal. So this is for guys. So guys, if you want to come out, there's going to be 6 sessions, I think it is. And the next one is on April 28th at 8:30 in the morning. And then the next session is on May 1st at Tuesday night. So if you want to be part of that, if you want to do what Warren was talking about not being passive, kind of about getting off the green chair, getting involved, being on fire for God again, and seeing how you can be that passionate man for Christ in your relationship with people around you at work, with your spouse. It's really amazing stuff. So I encourage you to come out. And Pastor John Bootsman is going to be meeting with people at the back, kind of under the banner. If there are any male cell leaders that want to be involved to help lead this, to help spearhead this, if you feel kind of a tug in your heart that this is something that you want to be involved in, helping raise in, pastor, nurture the level of men that really want to go after God in this, meet John under the banner, kind of by the mezzanine at the back after service, and he'd love to talk to you.
And so, as of now, we're going to just get you to turn your attention to either one of the large screens, and we are going to play our video announcements.
Hey everybody, Steve Long, it's Video Announcements, and Sandra and I have been enjoying this last month. We have been visiting all the different campuses, and last Sunday I was at Hamilton and Sandra was at Mississauga, and we are talking about Legacy Fund, and some of your campuses or some of the campuses haven't had your special Sunday yet, so it's coming up, so we're looking forward to that. I'm at Midtown today, and John Arnott is going to be at Airport in a couple weeks, and Sandra's going to be in Brampton in a couple weeks, and I'm going to be at, Sandra's going to be at Ajax, I'm going to be at Brampton in a couple weeks. Friends, can I tell you of an amazing story that happened last week? In 2010, John Arnott had a prophetic word from one of the prophets in America, and he lives in the Kansas City area. He had a long prophetic word, and part of his word was about finances. And he said to John and Carol that there's going to be 3 breakthrough financial explosion kind of things that are going to be happening for our ministry. And he said, you're going to get a check of $400,000, which we got in November of 2010. We'd never had a gift that big before. The second word he said was you're going to get an amount of $1.2 million. We got that on Wednesday last week. And a check came to Duncan and Kate Smith for their new building in Raleigh as part of the Legacy Fund. They're raising money for that. They were hoping to get $300,000 for a deposit to be able to put a down payment on the building. The building is worth $1.4 million if they were to buy it in cash, and in a check in the mail from an anonymous giver, $1.2 million. So it looks like they're going to be able to pay cash for their building, which is an amazing, amazing thing.
So here we are, right at our local PNC branch, our favorite branch in the whole wide world. And here I am with Michael Messier, our bank manager. And I'm just presenting him a check.
Loss for words.
For $1.2 million from a wonderful, godly, anonymous donor who we just asked God's amazing blessing on. And we just know it's a gift from our heavenly daddy.
Incredible.
So here you are, Michael. Please take that and cash it. And
we will get you $1.2 million in ones. And I hope you have a truck outside. No, happy to make the donation. Awesome, excited, incredible. Amazing.
So can I tell you what the third check is for? It is for $22 million. So those of you with that kind of budget, we're waiting for you. So we can all be praying that in. And the other, our pastors were talking about this. We're going, well, if the first check came to Toronto and the second check went to Raleigh, can the third check please come back to Toronto as opposed to our Zurich office or London? Or anyway, that's being selfish. Let me move on. Let's talk about ladies. Ladies, there's an encounter coming up for you. Daphne Clark from the airport campus is leading it. And it is going away, and so you do need to register. And ladies from any of the campuses, you're very welcome. And all the information will come to you once you register. Men, can I let you know that this coming Saturday, the airport campus is starting a six-week series for the guys. And it's like a Bible study course. It's go deep. It's hold each other accountable and responsible for men's stuff. And men, can I encourage you this Saturday, call the office to get all the details of when it starts and all that kind of stuff. Last thing is, in the month of May, we're going to be having a worship week. It's going to be a full week, mornings and afternoons. You're going to need to take time off work if you have a job. And can I encourage you, it will be excellent. Chris Dupre from Nashville is going to be back with us. Jeremy Sinnott and Jonathan Clark are going to be the instructors. Should be a great time. You need to register for that one as well. One last thing to tell you about, and that is that this next Sunday, Sandra and I are going to be in Halifax, and we are launching. It's not really the launch, but is the first step towards starting Catch the Fire Halifax. And so we're doing the very first warm-up meeting, and Jeremy and Connie Sinnott, I think, are going to begin going in. Duncan and Kate are going to be going in. John and Carol are going to be going in, and we're hoping for September. We're also hoping for September for Catch the Fire Calgary. And in May, John and Carol are going to be going there for a weekend, and in July, Jeremy and Connie are going for a weekend. Sandra and I are going to be in Calgary probably in August, and we're hoping to start a new church in Calgary. So lots of good stuff happening, lots of details on the website and on your screen right now, all the stuff you need to know. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. How many of you know that it's incredible when God just releases miraculous finances? Amen? That's pretty awesome that just took place last week. Well, I want to encourage you, as you got in this morning, you would have been handed one of these little bulletins. There's some information in there, including info about like baby dedication, cell leaders breakfast. There's also a space for taking notes this week, as Pastor Sandra is going to be sharing in a few moments. But just before Sandra comes up, we're going to invite up Natasha Bamba, who is a missionary in Zambia, who's going to just share with you this morning. So if you could join me in welcoming her this morning, that'd be great.
Thank you, Ben. So it's so good to be home. I've been in Zambia for about 5 months since September of last year, and Catch a Fire is really home for me. I'm from the Midtown campus, and it's just to come back and just see all the family and friends is such a blessing, and to just be surrounded in God's love and presence this morning. Wow, I could just sit in that forever. It's so good. But I wanted to give you a little bit of an update as to where we are. The project in Zambia is called Hope Ignited. And basically, the idea is that it's about sparking hope and igniting dreams. I work in this rural village outside of Ndola. And it's quite a remote area with not a lot of opportunities for people. So we want to give them hope and something to look forward to in their future, and just all of that with God's unconditional love. This is a picture from Google Maps, just to give you a little bit of an idea. This is the village that I work in, and so there's very little infrastructure there. It's mostly, you know, these are all dirt roads, and there is a school, and I kind of work in partnership with that school. A little bit about Zambia. Zambia has lost about a whole generation due to AIDS, a lot of children staying with their grandparents and so forth. This is a photo that's right on a children's school, like a grade school. So you can imagine the impact of this, and this is what children deal with on a daily basis. This is a photo, it's a little hard to see, but of the village, one of the houses in the village itself, and clearly poverty is an issue. There is no electricity in the village, although there is kind of some water sources and so forth. And here's some little guys, and I just like to show this picture because, you know, they're playing it with clay. They're playing and making clay cars and clay people and stuff, and maybe a lot of us did that. I know I played with mud when I was a kid, right, made mud pies and stuff. But for them, this is all they have. So they don't go home to toys. They don't go home to TV or Nintendo or any of that stuff, right? This is what they have, just for a little perspective. Teenage pregnancy is also a really big issue in the village because of the lack of education, lack of opportunities. When kids get bored, they end up hanging out in bars. There's a few bars in the village, and therefore, you know, pregnancy comes along, and we're trying to support these young people as much as possible. And opportunities. So this little girl is selling coal and just trying to make money for her family, and then sometimes these things bring the kids out of school instead of keeping them in school. Nutrition is also a factor. This young man is in a compost heap. There was a banana farm next door, and so he's looking for bananas, leftover bananas for his family. And I just put this in here because people always ask me, what do you eat? How did you manage? Well, these are actually caterpillars, and yes, I have eaten them. And no, they don't taste like chicken. but, you know, this is a good source of protein, and that is what people eat there sometimes. So a little bit of what we've done so far. Over the last 2 years, we packed a container. One of these containers on the truck is ours, not both. Packed it up full of goods, of one-time goods like clothing and school supplies, and as well as things like things for projects like sports equipment, knitting equipment, sewing machines, school and music equipment as well. So we wanted to use all these things to kind of get the project started. The container arrived late. I left in September thinking it would come October, early November. It actually came almost at the end of the year, but people were clearly excited, and this is them unloading the container in the middle of the night in the pouring rain while standing on a table. So there was no stopping anyone at that point. We handed out the clothes in the container over a period of 3 weeks, and we did it in a few different ways. First, we just really looked for God for strategy, and wow, thank you, Lord, for giving it to us, because generally it went quite peacefully. It went quite well. We did things like giving tickets at times, or we just had people line up at different times, and people were really, just really blessed. We also gave packages to the kids at school, and here these are the pictures of them receiving their packages. Tried to best to get our sizes right. And then we also gave the kids some a choice between stickers or toys, so they would have just something special for themselves. So where we're going from this is, now that the container is empty, we want to build a library. There were also books in the container itself. And we've built a foundation with the local volunteers. We've built this foundation, and this is them when it's all finished. So they've really had a hand in you know, what is happening and what is going on there. Also, in the, you know, since basically middle of January, we started the knitting program. These are the ladies on the knitting program. And, you know, a lot of them already had skills and they had abilities. It was just for us to come in and help them get organized and provide them with the startup of the knitting materials that were in the container already. And they're teaching one another. There's one lady here, there's only one in the middle with the brown check skirt, and she had never knit before at all, and the ladies taught her. So we just help them with the kind of business plan, and then we show them God's love. This is all about showing God's love and building relationships as we do these practical things. And I just got a report from one of the young fellows who works with me that, you know, some of these people are now coming to church, involved in the choir, and, you know, getting God's healing in their life, and that's really what it's about. These are some of the things that they made, and if you're really lucky, because I have two hats left, so at the end of the service, if you're interested, I'll be at the back, and I'd love to get the last two little hats sold. They're kind of for baby sizes, if you know anyone's pregnant. This other really awesome thing that we did, another just, you know, inspiration from the Lord, this young man, the one on the far left here, told me his story, that he was walking to school about three hours to get to school each direction. So the current school only goes to grade 6, and then if they're older, if they really want their education, they've got to go a lot further. So we had about 4 or 5 bicycles in the container, and we're praying, of course, with what to do with them. And then we came, God just, you know, gave this inspiration about this bicycle program. So all of these children were kind of interviewed. How are you doing? What, you know, what's your dedication to your school? And they were all walking these kinds of distances. And now they're bicycling to school, which is amazing. And, you know, it's taking them maybe 30 minutes or 45 minutes to get to school. So this is a letter from Anesta, but it's not... I'll just read it to you quickly because the audio is not quite working. But she says, "I, Anesta, Mom, and Daddy are very grateful to thank you for what you've done for our living. We had no way of transport to be helping us to transport our goods to the market and to assist me at school. But due to the power of God, I have the bicycle transport at home. Why can't I thank you, the helping sponsor? Thank you so much for your support once again. I'll thank you for clothing me. My mother did select me a beautiful blouse. That was from the initial handout of clothes we did. And I hope and I pray for you, the sponsor, to continue supporting us. Thank you. God bless you." So just kind of ongoing things too. What's cool about Zambia, it's a Christian nation, so self-proclaimed Christian nation. So this allows us opportunities to kind of speak to people and speak into their lives about the Lord. So when we have things like community meetings, we get a little, you know, a little preach in there. We get a little bit of God's goodness in there and his truths, right? Because we want to change attitudes and we want to get people focused on the Lord as well. And we've also started a Bible study. So just ongoing where we're going with this fellow in the red, this is Meshach, and please pray for him. He's the fellow who hopefully will take over from me one point. I'm training him because I want someone local to be able to run these projects. It's very important to have that local person there. The next thing we'll be doing is expanding the knitting program and also getting the sewing program started when I get back. I go back May 2nd for 7 months this time until December. We also run programs for the kids, like an after-school kind of play area where they can build relationships, have a safe place, an alternative to the local bars. And we want to start the sports programs and the music programs as well. The other things that we're working on is some renovations so that Meshach has a place to live, and the renovations to the actual container. This is us trying to get the container off the truck. It's kind of hanging there. It was quite the story. but we want to make that, put windows in it, change the roof, all that sort of thing to make it into the library. So your prayer and financial support basically goes to all these things. Ongoing staff and expanding the projects. We also want to teach people, provide educational classes for adults and so forth, so that we're supporting people as a whole, as a family. And, you know, the children have the school and we kind of work with the adults a little more. And if you would like all the details to the fun stories and how we got the container off the truck and, you know, what the caterpillars all taste like and stuff like that, I just want to encourage you to visit my website. It's hopeignited.com, with a little dash in between. And I just love this Proverbs 23:18, which is, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. And we just carry that with people and to people in the Camafuesa village. So I guess the only other thing is that if you do want to give to me or give to this project, on any of the envelopes, you can just write, make sure it's clearly written, Zambia, Natasha, and it'll get to the Hope Ignited project. Okay? Thank
you. Thanks, Natasha. It's actually really kind of cool because, well, Natasha's out there doing the doing. I was just thinking, I think we went through School of Champions 3 together, didn't we, at Midtown. So it's like Natasha's part of our family, and this is part of the way. Like, we can't all be missionaries who go out to Zambia, but Natasha's felt called there. And so as a church, we support her. And if you'd like to support her individually as well, Natasha's going to be at the back, kind of at the bookstore afterwards. But, you know, eating a caterpillar, that kind of, like, legitimizes you as a missionary to that next level in my book. So could we all just stretch our hands to Natasha? Papa, we just thank you so much for filling her and for giving her the grace and blessing everything that she's doing in Zambia. And as she's getting ready to go back on May the 2nd, we just ask that your presence would be with her every step of the way for everybody that's being trained and raised up, that it would just be an overwhelming village, just completely packed full of your presence and people full of your presence. So we just bless the practicals and the spirituals right now, and we bless every door to be open in Jesus' name. And we bless you, Natasha, for bringing the Spirit of God, the Spirit of this house forward to all over the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, we just bless and honor you, Natasha, for taking that step and for going where God has led you. And we just thank you for being obedient to the call of God, to going to where he has sent you. And so we just pray a protection and a blessing over you and over your ministry, that it would expand, that the kingdom of God would be expanded in Zambia, and also that finances and everything else that may seem practical hindrances would just start to fall over, and that God's blessing and favor would be all on you, and it would just keep going in a great way. Amen.
Amen. Can we give Natasha one more round of applause? Bless her as she goes.
Well, as Natasha is heading down for the day, we'd like to invite up Sandra. So if you guys could join me in welcoming Pastor Sandra.
Wonderful. Isn't that neat? I love seeing what God's doing all over the world, but I think it's great as a congregation that you get to see what God is doing with the tithes and the offerings and the just that you pour into that ministry. So it's incredible. Well, I just want to say thank you for all of those, especially online. But again, thank you for my birthday blessings. Some of you are probably thinking, well, why are they saying happy birthday when it's my birthday today? Well, as you know, Stephen, I'm going to be 50 on Tuesday, but, you know, 'tis life, right? So it was very kind. My husband loves me very much, and he honored me in an incredible way. So don't worry. I know you're looking at the time, and you're going, oh, my goodness, but don't worry. This morning, we're going to go as quick as possible, but this week, I was talking to Sandra Berry. Sandra, wave your hand. Sandra is one of the leaders that works upstairs. Darren and Daphne oversee the children's area. There are children's pastors. But Sandra's been given leadership in between the ages of the kids from grades 1 to 6. And I was having lunch with her this week, and I was just overwhelmed by all that was happening in the kids' ministry, and I was so excited that I just had to bring them up. And I just want to thank all the parents. I know some are just sitting down here that you've given permission today to, you know, to have your kids share. But one of the things that that really touched my heart, you know, even as I was preparing for this message, I actually preached it last week, but I won't preach the full thing today. But when I was preparing, I was like, God, you're my source. And it was just really interesting as Sandra and I were chatting, she was talking about how she prepares at home for Sunday. And she was telling me all the things that were happening in the kids' ministry. And she was saying, oh, this, this, and this. But then she said, you know, it was really kind of weird. She said, there's weeks that, you know, that she gets so busy doing really good things. And then when Sunday hits, she doesn't feel the measure of the presence of God, you know, upstairs. And I'm thinking, phew, she's just like me. How many better ever feel like that? You know, you come sort of unprepared and all of a sudden you're a little bit dry. And she was saying, so she began to cry out to God and she was saying, Lord, you know, what happened today? And God said, well, you didn't pray yourself, you know, for the Sunday. You didn't prepare in that way. You didn't call on me and say, you know what? You know, I'm your source. I'm the one that's going to come and be with the kids today. And she said, I think it was two Sundays in a row. Same thing happened the second Sunday. And she's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. And so I thought, you know, this is a moment in time where, you know, sometimes as followers of Jesus, when we're walking in that place and we're not always feeling his presence, it's because we're not prayed up. It's because we're not positioning ourselves, you know, in the presence of God. And I'm thinking of Psalm 23, verse 1, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, let me ask you this morning, how many people need something? Now, so there's a whole group over there that didn't even put their hands up, so that's really good. I see your hands on the internet. But, and I thought, oh, God, you know, I know that every day I need something. I know that every day when I spend time with you, you know, that's what I love about worship in the morning. When I come here to corporately worship and there's the auditorium is full and the people are praising the Lord, my spirit inside just jumps another level. And even, I just want to say that this morning, you know, the word that Sam and Ben gave, you know, about pressing through to, you know, we want to press through to the next level. But the only way we're going to do that is if we position ourselves. We position ourselves to be led, you know, when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, the interesting thing about David in that place, well, he was used to being a shepherd. He was used to being in charge. He was used to, you know, looking after the sheep and killing the lions and the bears that were coming along. He was used to making sure that there were green pastures. And all of a sudden, in the midst of everything that he was doing, you know, he said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to be a sheep today. And he had to come under the Lord. And he had to be willing to be led. And I think that if we're going to press through in this next season, if we're going to experience the presence of God in an incredible way, it's really, really important that we begin to press through, that we begin to come under and be led. I just want to say this because I don't know how long the kids are going to take, but I want to give them lots of time. But I was reading this morning just about cisterns. Whoops. And it says here, and I just thought this was, you know, sometimes we're leaky, aren't we? We get filled up, and then we leak out, and then we get a little dry. It's kind of like my plants. I'm not a plant person, but Stephen loves them, so bless him. If you want a plant, just, you know, email him. I'd love to give some away. But he might not. But it says, many Christians have forsaken the spring of living water and dug their own cisterns. A cistern is like a well, but has no independent source of water. The water must be bought from another or brought from another place. Many Christians find that their life leaks. They go to church on Sunday, but on Monday, all the joy, peace, and power is leaked away. They have built cisterns modeled after the way of the world. When I read that, I was just like, oh, that's it. You know, it's good to come to church and get that good feeling of being in the presence of God. And how many of you go out, and how many of you, if you're like me, you make that decision, you know what, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up at 5:30 and I'm going to, you know, and then 5:30 hits and you're like, oh, you know. I know some people do and I bless you. Night is better for me. But I just felt like to say, I don't want to be a leaky cistern. I want to be filled with the presence of God. I want to push through to the next level. And I feel like, you know, when I know we keep saying it, but I feel like we are pressing through to the next level. And so I just want to give the kids some time, and Sandra's going to introduce them. But our children's ministry have been pressing through for the presence of God. when I was talking to Sandra, she was telling me about even before she came to this place, she had an incredible vision and dream of being in a place where the presence of God was and that the ministry was going to come from the children. I remember years ago getting that prophetic word. If you've been around, you remember it? And it was going to come down that way. And we've been contending and praying and believing God that he's going to come and he's going to come out of that place and he's going to come down those stairs and it's going to happen with the kids. Well, it's happening with the kids right now. Things are happening in that place. She's just, I mean, I'd love to give her an hour of all the things that God has been doing with the kids. But I want you to listen this morning. I want you to listen to the young kids because they really have childlikeness in them. They really believe what the Word of God is. They really believe that they need to position themselves in the presence of God. And as adults, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. And so I bless you, and here's Sandra.
Thanks, guys. We're so excited, but we just started looking at all the people out here, so we might be a little bit nervous. But we prayed. We're okay now. But we just want to thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come and tell you what is going on upstairs. There is amazing things going on upstairs. You're going to hear about throne room experiences. You're going to hear about God speaking to kids, about painting Jesus. You're going to get a whole big dose. But it really is just the touch of the iceberg. Since I've been here, I think, a year and a half now, when I got here, God started speaking to me. As I crossed the border from the States into Canada, I was like, what? God, what do you want with the next set of kids that I'm going to be with? What do you want me to do? He's like, I want them to be unshakable. That they could stand before 1,000 people and not move. And I was like, how do I do that? That's pretty big. How am I supposed to do that? And he said, you teach them how to worship. You teach them how to abide in me. And you get them to a place where they're living a life supernaturally, totally natural. And so we have, for the last year, been talking about how to hear God's voice, how to release the kingdom of heaven with every breath and every step that we take. Right now, actually, upstairs, we're doing an IHOP. We're having an IHOP session upstairs with the kids. We are teaching them, yeah, isn't that great? We're teaching them how to be so connected with God that we don't wait in our lives when something's bad to find God, that God is in our lives, that we abide in that. And so, yeah, it's really powerful what's going on upstairs, and I don't want to take the kids' time, but man, there's so much stuff going on. But let's talk about, let's do the painting first. Jael, Julia, and Adalia, do you want to come up? Okay. Okay, so tell them your name and how old you are.
I'm Julia, and I'm 10 years old.
Okay, and can you tell them about your picture? I'm going to hold your picture, and then you tell them what happened. Okay, come on. Okay, do you want to tell them what happened and what made you?
Okay. So what happened? Why was this picture painted?
Well, God showed me Jesus' face, and then told me to paint it.
Okay. And what happened in the crown?
I wrote King of Kings on it, and then my dad gave me the idea to write in Hebrew.
Awesome. So here we have kids having God encounters and dreams, waking up and taking that dream into the here, to the now, and to actually partner with God to paint a picture of Jesus. How awesome is that, that our kids are moving in the prophetic? Good job. That's awesome. Okay. Can you just hold that?
I'll do the questions.
Okay. No, just wait. Okay. So, Adalia. Sandra. Thanks. Okay. Adalia's had some amazing things going on in her life. And a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was even a month ago, we were giving them opportunity to have throne room encounters. We were teaching them how to usher in the presence of God and to hang out in the throne room. And so Adalia has a great testimony about all that she's been experiencing in the throne room. Okay, so when we first talked about it, when you came up and talked to me, you told me that you were hanging out in the throne room with who?
Jesus.
And he was walking with you, and he was talking with you, and he took you into the throne room to what room?
To the praying room.
To the praying room. And what did you see when you were up there?
I seen people praying. Okay. for Jesus and to heal people.
Okay, did you see any angels?
Yeah, I seen angels.
Okay. So you saw two angels, and Jesus took you over to them. And what did they? What were they wearing?
They're wearing a necklace that's shaped as a cross.
Okay. And so what happened with the necklace cross?
It glows when people are praying and they get healed.
Come on. So Adalia is partnering with angels, and whenever there's an accessory assignment, the cross glows. And what do you do when you see that?
I start praying for them.
Yeah. And so you were praying, and what happens when your job is finished praying? What happens to the necklace?
It starts glowing.
And then after the prayer has been answered, what happens?
Then Jesus comes to me and he said, "You did a good job," and then he does something good to me.
Yeah. And so isn't that awesome? So she's partnering in the throne room with the angels of intercession. And so the necklaces glow and she knows she has a job to do, and she prays. And she prays until the glow on the necklace stops, because that's Jesus' way of showing her that that job is done. How awesome is that? All right. And her mom and her were telling me this story. And what did the angels say to you? That every time you go to bed, what's going to happen?
They're going to teach me about God more.
So the angel said to her, every time you go to bed, we're going to encounter you. So her mom said to me, she's wanting to go to bed at like 6, 7 o'clock because she just wants to keep encountering the angels. So we had a little chat, and I told her that she doesn't have to be asleep to encounter the angels. So she's been having lots of fun. And what was the room? Jesus gave you a new room the other day. What was it?
The joy room.
The joy room. So she has the teaching room and the joy room that she gets to go. Do you want to hold up one of your pictures? I don't know if we can get into that. It might be. Oh, okay, there's one of them. So these are all the different throne rooms she gets to go into. Awesome. Okay, James, come on up. Yeah. Oh, did we say how old you were?
Nine.
This is happening. Okay, James, come on up. Okay, so James is one of our... There's such a call on this guy's life, as there is all of them. But James, do I challenge you almost every week?
Yes.
Every week I pull them aside and I challenge them because I want to be someone who is constantly pulling the gold out of them. We do so many things. Every week before you leave, what do I give you? Like when we finish teaching, there's a what?
Memory verse.
Yep, there's a memory verse, and we give them an action. And so some of the things that we do is, I think a couple weeks ago, I don't remember the time frame, but we were learning on entering in the presence of God. So we challenged their family, themselves and their family, to three times a week usher in the presence of God for 5 full minutes, which for kids, that's amazing. But even for some of us, that's amazing, right? So James is a seer and is learning about what that means. And so we constantly give our kids opportunities to be praying, to be stretching, to be giving them the opportunities outside of church. So this happened in church, but last Sunday, there was a family that was having a birthday party. So we decided we were going to go in, and what did we pray over the chairs?
God encounters.
Yeah. We touched each one of the chairs, and we prayed for a God encounter, but then something happened. When you were praying God encounters over the chair, I was saying to them, okay, I want you to pay attention to your body. Is God saying something else to it? And what did you feel?
Well, I just saw God with a water hose, but instead of water coming out, fire came all over the room.
Okay, so that's an amazing prophetic picture. Then one of the little girls, she's sick, she's not here today, she goes, oh, I know what that is. That's God, that's Holy Spirit, and he wants to release the fire baptism of the Holy Spirit. Six, you guys, six. So then they went around all the chairs and they released the Holy Spirit fire. Okay, awesome. Oh, one other thing, when you were praying for the chairs, what did you start to feel?
Well, I felt a pain in my knee, and I knew someone needed healing in their knee.
Yeah. So he went to the chair and he prayed over that chair that the person would get healing. And there was several knees. There was a back. There was one that was sadness in heart. And we knew the chair that they sat on. And when I spoke to the person whose party it was, they talked to me about how that person had been in a marriage that he wasn't really quite faithful in. And so the kids had even picked up on the heart issue of dad wanting to heal that. So that was released over the room as well. Good job. Awesome. That's James. What? And he's 12, he wants you to know. Okay. Okay, JL. Okay, how old are you?
7.
Okay. Can you tell us, you were also upstairs in the room praying, can you tell us what you saw and what you felt?
Well, when I was praying for this chair, I saw God, and then when God, he told me that he's going to touch that person every day, and that he's going to fill that person with his power.
Awesome. So you put your hands on there, and you released a God encounter over that chair. Good job. Okay, we wanted to, Raquel, come on up. Okay, Raquel, how old are you?
10.
10. Okay, can you tell me how your life has changed, how your prayer life has changed? Before you came to Ignite, did you have a big prayer life?
Not really.
Okay, watch this. How many of you guys at one point in time did not have a good prayer life? Watch all these hands. See? That's an everybody thing. Okay, so since you've been upstairs in Ignite, what have you learned about prayer, and how has your life, your prayer life changed?
That you...
Does God speak to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so God speaks to her. Does he speak to you every day, sometimes, only when you're in a good mood, only when you've done things right? When does he speak to you?
Always.
All the time, yes. Good job. And so could you stand before 10 people? If 10 people came up here and said, prayer's not real, what would you say to them? If 10 people came up here and said, prayer's not real, God's not real, there's nothing to that, what would you say?
Well, God's speaking to them every single day. They just don't open their ears and hear it.
Right. That's right. Good job. Good job. And so, all right. Next, what we'd like to do is to bring up a family, Jose. And Adalia, come on up. So these are the parents of the little prophetess in front of you. And so we just wanted to give you an opportunity to hear how they feel their life has changed with their kids being upstairs in Ignite. So Jose.
I'm really happy that my daughter can experience this at such a young age. First of all, the dream itself, first of all, there's been more than one. And there's so much more detail that we can't get into right now. But that one specific dream, and I believe this wasn't a coincidence either. We happened to be a witness to it as well. We were just roaming around upstairs. She's a tosser, so she moves around when she's sleeping. But we heard her talking. So we went to her room. She was in the shower, but I started listening to what she was saying. And I heard Jesus, and I heard angels, and I heard I want to dance with Jesus. And I thought, maybe she's awake, maybe she's not. I sat there for 5 minutes. It kept going. She was deep sleep. Then she came out, and I brought her, and I said, come. You know. So we both stood there just listening, and it just went on and on. And we said, we're not going to make a sound. We're not going to disturb her. We'll talk to her about it tomorrow. And I don't know. It just... It gives you the tingles, you know. She explained it in so much detail the next day to the point that, I mean, usually dreams you can't really recall that vividly. But she was able to describe it, and the probing questions were very open-ended, so it wasn't anything that we were feeding the answers. It was just, you know, do you remember having a dream? And at first she said no. And as I kept asking her, I said, are you sure? And then she started remembering. And just started giving us all these details. And I feel so blessed that we can be a part of that as well. I think it's something that's intended for the family. Even the little ones. I mean, we're in there with the little ones every month, and it's unbelievable to me how sensible they are. They're 5 years old, 6 years old, and it's very encouraging to me as a believer. Just that it's something so tangible. So I'm very happy about that. I hope, you know, I don't know if we can get into this, but with the other kids, this is something I've been learning in the process. I've been in the ministry just for a few months, and I know a lot of us as parents, we see angelic characteristics in our kids, and it's normal, but it's beyond that. It's something that I see in other people's kids as well, as we're in their teaching. It's not just because they're my kids and I love them. I'm telling you, we see something different, and I'm also a teacher. I know the difference. You can see the uniqueness. Even though these kids may not be old enough yet to make that decision yet on their own, but they are an extension of us as believers. So because of that seed, they do stand out in school. I've had numerous parent-teacher interviews with her teachers, and we probably discuss a quarter of it about her actual grades and her actual school, and her teacher just goes off into things that have nothing to do with school and just things that are obviously Jesus in her. Statistically, at the school she goes to, she's heavily outnumbered in terms of, you know, people that she could share faith with, and just the stories that we hear and how she shares with her friends, and the teacher also noticing. It's something that I encourage everybody to not underestimate the importance of what happens up there and what happens, because we used to be really hard on her as far as the school and the grades and how well you have to do. And the moment we started shifting our thinking a little bit and focusing on, you know what, that's secondary. It's my personal conviction. You feel free to disagree. I don't even think she's going to need to go to university. I don't think we're going to be here that long. And that's my hope. Our focus has now shifted. We're trying to, you know, teach her spirit before anything else. The rest will just fall into place. She is doing better in school already. And the last thing I wanted to say, I felt very identified by what Mr. Warren was saying, that especially as men, we're very, very passive, easily distracted, and things like that. Ever since Easter, I've been, again, I mean, it happens, I suppose, every Easter, but it's just a little bit of a stirring up, and it's something that can happen. It doesn't have to be, you know, one supernatural occurrence in one day. It could be little by little. And as Sandra was saying, just baby steps and pressing through. I feel very motivated to do that when I hear about things like this. So it does help me very much as a father, as a believer, to keep pressing through. You know, and so praise God.
So why don't you talk to us about how you've seen a change in them since they've been in Ignite?
Oh wow. She is my angel. I have so many stories about Adalia when she was young, and she has this tendency to come to me and remind me that I need to spend time with God. And it's, you know, it's funny. It's very funny that a child can come to you and be like, hello, you know, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, kind of thing. But she is a person that is loving itself, but it's also a person that can shake you up and wake you up in the spirit. And basically, I've seen not just on Adalia, but my older two kids, how she's been doing work, not just at home. It's extended to friends, and where we go and where she goes to school, there is pretty much no Christians. And she's been able to talk to little kids and have them pull their parents to go to church, right? And then she comes back and she's like, they're Christians now. I'm like, what do you mean they're Christians now? Well, I just prayed and I told them, if you want to be happy, you want to be saved, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And it happens like this. So I feel very blessed for that. Now, what I really want to say is this. We parents, you know, we're very busy with so many things we have to deal with. But Adalia is a great example that there is nothing absolutely most important than finding the kingdom and finding that point in your life when you can just rest and receive and be at peace, right? So one part of it's been a lot going on, and I think it's changed not just her but all of us in the family, is that I was struggling with my mother. She had a medical condition, and it was really bad. And my spirit was really sad, and she noticed it. And then she was, you know, mommy, just be happy, whatever, you know, everything's going to be okay. The day after, she comes to me and she says, mommy, you know, last night I was sleeping and I prayed and I went to Jesus and he told me that he's going to heal you, and he already has healed my grandmother. And it's because I went to that room and I was praying for both of you. And I just want you to know that he wants you to be happy because he's going to heal you both. So it's amazing. I praise God for that because it reminds you that you need to follow along with him and he's under control. So for all you parents who have children, get them. Help them. Go along with them to go into God's presence. Really, their kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is theirs. There is no simple way to go to God than just be like them. That easy. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, can we have them pray over them?
Yeah, I just want to, just before they pray over you, how about we stand up right now? And those that are watching on the internet, isn't that incredible? It brings me to tears to realize the childlikeness and the simplicity where, as adults, sometimes life just weighs on us so heavy with so many different things. And this morning, you know, they're going to pray a childlike prayer over you, and you have a choice to receive it. You have a choice to say, you know what, like, you know when it talks about the 10 virgins, you know, like you can't give away, like I can't give you the relationship that I have with the Lord. I can't give away the intimacy. You have to, I can't give what I have because it's mine. And this morning when they pray for you, you have to choose when you walk out of this place, you know, I don't want you to go up to them and go, please, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? I don't want you to do that. I want you to go to him. I want you to look to him, and I want you to say, God, you are my source, and I grew up, and I forgot about you, and I left you behind. Does that make sense? And I know that, you know, that some of you might say, you know, there's sickness in your bodies, and even this morning, I just want to encourage you. I know that there's some people watching right now, and they're saying, you know what? I don't even have a relationship with this Jesus that they're talking about. And this morning, I want to invite you, even after we pray, I want you to come forward. And you know what? Jesus, God the Father, sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. And he said, you know what? I want to die, and I want to be enough for you. I want to be your everything. And this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. If you have not said that prayer, if you have not welcomed Jesus into your heart, if you're not saying, you know what, Jesus, I want to have eternal life with you, I want to encourage you after we pray, and we're going to, if the worship team can come up to the front, but I want to welcome you to come forward, and we're going to have some people that are going to pray for you in that area right now. But how about you just hold your hands up to the Lord right now, because they're going to pray. And I know that I know that I know that the Lord is taking us to the next level, and we need to come in the next level being childlike. We need to come and seek him being childlike. We need to go into his presence. And we just can't leave this place the way we were. We have to be transformed. We have to be renewed. We have to be refreshed. We need to say, Father, we need you with everything. Lord, I need you. And how about we just need you, Lord. We need you to be our source in everything. And it was amazing. Last night when I was praying, I really just felt like God, just all of a sudden, he opened my eyes supernaturally, and all of a sudden, I began to see things. I began to see bright colors, and I know that many of the children already see that. they go and they have these visions of heaven, and they see rooms and they see colors, and some of us, just because of life situation, our eyes haven't been opened. And I just want to bless you this morning, even as they pray for you, that your eyes will be opened and that you will experience heaven in this place this morning. And that when you leave this place, you will believe, oh my goodness, I'm healed. You will believe that you have the faith to walk and to go into places, to go into your schools, to go into your workplaces, to go into your homes. And you will believe that the Lord is going to come and they are going to get saved because of the overflow of the Holy Spirit that is inside of you. And so let's just have the kids pray.
God, I just bless them to have God encounters and that you open their ears and eyes to you so that they can hear and do your will and change people's hearts to you and turn their eyes to you. Amen.
You don't want to pray?
Dear God, I just bless the people who need healing and help them to heal and have a good time with Jesus, and in your name, amen.
So, Papa, we're just thanking you for the opportunity when you say we get to come to you as little children. And we're just asking, God, that you would just awaken us, that you would ignite us to have that hunger for what it is to find you, that you would chase us down faster than we could run, that you would pull us into these places where we would have intimate love encounters with you, that you would give us dreams and visions. Papa, we're asking for throne room opportunities to come, for people to be able to walk into the room of blueprints and strategies and to sit in the hall of wisdom and to sit with the great revivalists and just to know more and more what it is about you. We're just asking, Lord, that you would chase us down, that you would chase us down and find us, and that Holy Spirit, you would wear us like a glove, and that we would begin to get so super sensitive to what it is you want us to do, that we would begin to ebb and flow in every single situation, that with every breath and that with every step we take, we begin to release heaven on earth. Would you teach us how to be just like you? Would you just do open heart surgery on us? Would you remove the things in us that don't look like you? And would you put in us the things that we need to look like you? We're just asking for a boldness to be released over this house. We just release a boldness in the name of Jesus. We're asking, God, for a whole new revelation of what it means to live in the power of the cross, to understand what it means to live in the power of the cross. Papa, would you continue to give us opportunities to look like you more and more each day? We're again just asking for those ears to be cleared and those eyes to be opened. We're asking for that lie lens that the enemy has fooled us with, sometimes even for decades, that lie lens would be removed, that you would do an eye surgery, Lord God, that we would begin to see people how you see them, that you would call us up to be ones that look like you, that you would call us up to be ones that act like you and breathe like you. We just bless your holy name. Amen.
We're going to worship in a minute. And church, let's not rush out, okay? We're going to worship, but I just want to read a scripture. In Psalm 16, it says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. He's your portion." In Psalm 18, it says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." And in verse 16 it says, "He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." And so, Father, I thank you that this morning that you have rescued all of us. I thank you that in the scripture it says that you've brought us into a broad place. And this morning as we worship, let's just end with an incredible worship. And I want to encourage you, if you need to come forward and just to worship in this place, we're going to worship with one last song.
and we're going to go out in worship and looking to Him. And we want to, Father, we want to go to the next level. And we want to walk out of this place, Father, with You in an incredible place. In the name of Jesus.